This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We also pay our respects to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islanders people who may be listening now and say that this land was never ceded, always was, always will be Aboriginal lands.
I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. So you better eat it up before I take it away.
BRB cause POC, we fighting back on policy. And you can call me feminazi, go ahead and call me nasty. Hey, your bubble burst, fighting like a girl. Roll drama, roll up the power of the female force. When I sat up on the same throne as she gone, we lost when this one is a cave like Farrakhan. Sniff this female pheromone, it makes the pharaohs moan. Cleopatra toes are curling, so powerful the sphinx's nose is falling. Clink your glasses, melt the ice like ice. Raise your glasses, melt the thighs like ice. Clink your glasses, our flashes, you won't ready for it to feel this nice. You won't ready for it to feel this nice. Clink your glasses, melt the ice like ice. Raise your glasses, melt the thighs like ice. Clink your glasses, our flashes, you won't ready for it to feel this nice. You won't ready for it to feel this nice.
I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. So you better eat it up before I take it away.
Y'all can't tell me shit. I know who I am, know what I'm gonna get. Vicious on the stage, delicious and I'm thick. Just remember who birthed your bitch. I be rocking microphones, ladies on my chubby bones. Something they ain't seen before they live with my music on. Tell the boys to watch the throne, I'm coming be my locker room. Martinis while I work on your gravestone.
I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. So you better eat it up before I take it away. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate, so you better eat it up before I take it away.
It's a woman's world. It's a woman's world. It's a woman's world. It's a woman's world.
I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. So you better eat it up before I take it away. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. I'm a very busy woman with a lot on my plate. So you better eat it up before I take it away.
That's right, this is Joy 94.9 and you've just tuned in to Triple Bypass. That was Woman's World by Okenyo featuring Miss Blanks and Jess. My name's Ruby.
And I'm Anthony.
And welcome to tonight's show. It's wonderful to be here again.
It feels like a long time ago.
You weren't here last week, I was by myself.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, how did we go, Representation Hour?
I really enjoyed doing it. I have so much admiration. So we did, I got to do my own Representation Hour, which is talking about my bi-cons. The podcast just went up recently, which is really exciting. I may have cried, just like in a good way, and like I just like love these people so much.
If you want to hear Ruby cry, go to joy.org.au/triple bypass.
Or find it on iTunes. I've also put it up on our Facebook page to come up tomorrow. So that's a triple bypass on Joy. And I probably won't do as much crying tonight. We'll see how we go. But we have got a pretty special guest coming up who has done a lot of things that give me many feels. So that might happen again. We'll be speaking with Delcy, Mama Unicorn herself, coming up. But first, so we could look at some bi news, Anthony.
What's happening around the bi world?
Well, to start locally, Perth had their biggest ever Pride Parade this year, and more excitedly, close to over 100 people marched with the bi banner. So that's the Bisexual Plus Community of Perth. There's been a few articles about that on Gay Star News, but most of this has been attributed to the creation of the Bisexual Plus Community of Perth page set up by Misty Farqua, who we've had on the show before, who's one of my bi-cons, and they created the bi group because they tried to find a group to march with at Pride in 2015 and only got 4 people interested. So to go from 4 to almost 100, it's pretty extraordinary.
It's extraordinary, and there's so much there. Like, we're, and Misty, hi, if you're listening, we love you. And to stand back here in Melbourne to gaze over, all the way over at Perth to see what's happening in the time that you've... It took one person, Misty, it took one person to say, we need something, I'm going to have a go at this, and only 4 people turning up at the first event did not put them
also,
off.
But also, it showed as well that Misty was like, okay, so only 4 people heard about it, how do I make people more confident that they won't be alone? Because I think that's a lot to do with why the bi community doesn't come out to Pride marches, because there's that fear of like, oh, I don't see people like me there, and I'm scared to go. I don't feel like I'm queer enough, and, you know, hearing that over and over. And so I think having this Facebook group, which maybe people could join in and start to find that they weren't alone and that people just like them and have those discussions around how they felt.
Totally.
But because the Perth Pride march is in the evening, they actually had like, we're all wearing lights.
Yes.
So hyper visibility.
Right.
And it was really beautiful. So there's going to be a bi group marching in the Midsummer Pride March in Melbourne in the very beginning of February. So if you want to find out some details around that, just shoot us an email at triplebypass@joy.org.au. If you want to get in touch during the show, you can message us on 0427-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. We're hoping to get a pretty decent group together as well, but we'll be needing a lot of sunscreen.
We will. And, I mean, Pride March here in Melbourne the last few handful of years has been pretty outrageous with the weather. But look, I am not a competitive person. You know that. I'm not interested in beating especially other bi people at things. But let's get more than 100 people there in Melbourne. Come on,
look,
we can do this.
Missy's been working on this for years. Give us a starting point. But I would say
I'm very competitive.
So competitive. I think the other thing as well is that there's going to be the BC. So the BC campaign has confirmed that there will be a bi plus float in the next year's Gay and Lesbian Sydney Mardi Gras, which is really exciting. It's been a while since there's been a float.
It's so exciting. And again, lots of shout outs tonight. Bree, thank you for all your efforts there, and Amber and everyone in Sydney. This is remarkable. And out of the 195 floats that were part of Mardi Gras this year, not one of those floats had the word only bisexual on it.
There wasn't much, like, bis haven't had their own float for a while.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about that as well. There's been, you know, the bisexual community and Mardi Gras and Pride has always had a pretty conscientious history.
Yes.
You know, we were the first group at Melbourne Pride to need marshals to escort us because there was booing from the crowds. That was a few years ago. That hasn't happened since, just so in case you're listening. But also, you know, bi people couldn't actually join the Mardi Gras committee until the year 2000 without supporting extensive documentation that was not required for any other orientation or gender identity to prove we had committed. So I think we're seeing this big change now in the fact that there's a lot of people through social media kind of finding each other and organising and really like focusing on things that will remind everybody else that there is a lot of us, so we can feel more confident to come out, because it's so much easier to step out and really feel confident and celebrate yourself when you see people celebrating something that you identify with.
Totally. And I had a conversation with a colleague today who I met for the first time and spoke to, who came out to me and told me they were bi, and I asked them, have you ever been in a room with only other bisexual people, like everybody identifying as bi? And she said no. And I tell you now, it is a buzz. And to march in Pride with a large group of us, I think, will be just as exciting.
I think so too. We're going to have a sign painting day and get all your bad puns ready.
Yes.
It's just going to be really fun. And
totally.
I think, and like, you know, this year it was ridiculously warm, but also the bis had Zupa Dupas. So we were so popular.
Yes.
Especially with like people around us. We also had a shade tent, so the oval was deserted except for us, because we had a tent and we were protected and safe and doling out sweets, which is how to get everyone on your side. It's just blatant bribery, in my personal opinion. But also, in other bi news, the Walking Dead actress Brianna Vansoukas has opened up about being rejected for a queer role because she wasn't authentically LGBTI.
If there was a dictionary that had that phrase in there, authentically LGBTI, what would the definition be?
Gay.
Yeah.
I mean, are we talking about... No, that was real salty of me. I apologize.
No, it's true. It's true.
But look, the thing is, what is great is, though, that she is openly bisexual and she actually came out and talked about this quite quickly and was like, just so you know, this did happen. This is a real thing. This is ridiculous and it shouldn't be going on. I posted an article about that on the Facebook page and that did actually... People were... Rightly, that kind of anger of seeing a lot of our own fears around how people see bisexuality as being confirmed. Like, you know, what do I need to do to appear queer enough to you? Yes. Is it how I cut my hair? Like, do I need to, like, be cuffing my jeans more? Like, is it what exactly do I need to be doing to prove this when my own identity is in your acronym? And so I thought it was really great that she didn't just kind of take it lying down, that she did post about that and got a lot of support. And so I think that's also just showing that the public's attitude was with on her side.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that'll kind of be something that is taken into consideration by casting agencies in the future, because that's what calling these things out does. It's very much about, you know, call out culture when used correctly is about utilizing power structures to hold people to account.
Yeah, and I think at the very least to get them to just stop and revisit their thinking, as opposed to just automatically shutting us down or saying something biphobic or erasing. Mm.
Or just not really seeing it as part of the community, yeah. Even when it's in the acronym. Yeah. And I suppose, like, you know, this is something that we've talked about with intersex advocates as well, that just because you say the acronym, it can be a bit of a catch-20, because... Yeah. People say, well, they've got the acronym there, so they get it all. But, of course, they don't necessarily actually understand what those letters mean or have actually made efforts to make sure that they're represented. And, look, it's an ongoing conversation, yeah. But it's a conversation that's happening more and more. So I think that's really positive.
It is. And I've been thinking about this, and I want to start, instead of saying LGBTI, I want to start, I think L should be first, but I think LBGTI. How about that?
What about LBTI? G.
That's it, LBTIG. Yeah, that's good. That's pretty good.
Really rolls off the tongue.
we're going to have rehearsals. Let's practice that.
Well, Ro Allen said that we need to focus more on the bit. So the BIT.
Yes.
I think that kind of sums it up. But I think, you know, it is interesting just to kind of look at how these conversations are happening, not because the behaviour itself hasn't changed, but the conversations and the reaction to it is getting bigger. So I've had the extreme privilege of the last 2 days to be at the Pride in Practice conference, which is about basically a conference that's held for the Pride groups from a lot of big corporate companies. And these people who are basically within their big companies trying really hard to make sure that LGBTIQA plus people are able to be themselves at work. And it's pretty amazing to see what these Pride networks have done. So there was one from an insurance company that actually made all these videos about what bi means, what trans means, what all these different letters mean. They had, like, not just for Pride Month, they had, like, daily updates. They had a wear every colour of the rainbow day for a week, and everyone got really involved.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting because you see, like, as much as, you know, it kind of was that sense of, even if it's just happening within the company, those people who work in the company and are educated do leave the company at the end of the day and go back to their families. And so... But there's a bi contingent there, and a lot of people hadn't met other people who were bi before, so they're all just, like, very excited to talk and find each other, and there were bi pins everywhere, and I gave out badges.
Yes.
And it was that really, again, there's that sense of, and there was talking about sister girls transitioning and the importance of respecting the culture and identity of that, as well as, and, like, how to create a plan for transitioning at work, how to set up bathrooms, you know, how to ask for parental leave when you're in a same-sex relationship. All these really interesting conversations happening, and I think, you know, that does kind of show that the conversations are there, and also the turnout was twice what it was last year, so I think that people are a lot more active and a lot more aware than they were a little while ago of just how many barriers that might exist that we haven't been aware of before.
No, totally.
And how we can smash them.
Oh, totally.
And speaking of smashing barriers, that's something that's going to be coming up right after this break with our special guest, Delcy, Mama Unicorn herself, to talk about the Unicorns Festival next year, which is the first ever, as well as all the other events that she has been running for quite a few years now, which are very exciting, and also all the other experience she's had in working and her particular focus on making sure that she's creating queer inclusive spaces.
Awesome.
It's pretty special. So coming up is Wiggle by Huntley, one of our fave Australian bands. So stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
I turn to you when I want to celebrate my ascent to the sky. But in truth, I'm revealing up alone now. Cosmically high. I'm not gonna force you to feel anymore, and that's a gift that you've given me. So I'll thank you, though I know you won't be thanking me.
I'm like patient for days, won't give it away, hope sinning still pays.
I'm like,
station for days, won't give it away, hope sinning still pays.
Right, this is Joy 94.9, and that was Wiggle, a new song out by Huntley, one of our favourite queer Melbourne groups. This is Triple Bypass. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony, and we've had Huntley on the show
we
before.
We have a little while ago. If you want to check out that podcast, you can find it on iTunes or at joy.org.au/triple bypass to search Huntley. But now our guest is Delcy. Delcy, the founder director of Unicorns, a strong queer femme Italiana woman who's been providing safe spaces for our members of the queer community through parties, workshops, group fitness and dating nights across Sydney and Melbourne for the last 6 years. They've previously done work with numerous community orgs, including Joy, Switchboard, Victoria, Minus 18, and the queer youth podcast Unicorn Youth. She believes in the power of education, community, kindness, eco-glitter, and standing up for her community. Hi, Delcy.
Hi. It's really weird hearing your bio. I feel like I'm used to reading out other people's bios when I'm on stage, so that felt really awkward.
Welcome back to Joy. It's been a little while.
I know. It's been like, I think, a year since I've had my show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird stepping back in here, but it's nice.
Yeah, I'm glad. Well, it means you know where the bathrooms are, and that's the most important
thing. It's true.
Thing.
I can show myself around.
And you're on the other side of the panel tonight.
Oh, it's so relaxing. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about pressing buttons or the computer or...
Yeah, I just see it as flying a spaceship / I have control issues. Well, I run the ship.
Well, Delcy, thank you so much for coming on. It's really exciting to have you on. And I like that, you know, in your bio, you know, that you believe in power of education, community, kindness, eco-glitter and standing up for your community. Such lovely things to believe
it
in.
Was.
Like
and
all
also,
those things together are pretty amazing.
And thank you for educating Anthony on what eco-glitter was.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, had a little lesson.
Because you also sell Eco Glitter. So we're here to talk about, you know, the origins of unicorns, but more particularly a big event that's coming up in February, which is very exciting and must have been a huge undertaking in so many ways, which is the Unicorn Festival. It's a whole day of immersive, educational, colourful, bliss-filled queer. And I'm just, having been to a few of the unicorn parties, I can only imagine what it's going to be like for a full day.
Yeah, it's going to be big. Yes. It's going to go for 11 hours. There's 10 rooms. It's outdoor and indoor, and every room is going to be different. So in one room, there'll be workshops looking at gender and sexuality, as well as fun stuff like learning how to Vogue or learning how to do Auslan 101. Then you step into another room and there'll be activities like speed dating. There'll be a comedy hour, open mic comedy comp. Then you step into another room and there's going to be bands, international artists, DJs. There's a silent disco room, a rave cave, a gaming room, an arts and craft room, as well as an outdoor market. And with food trucks, and you can sit in the sun. And
just so you know, all the songs they're playing are from artists that will be at the festival.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is pretty amazing. So flashback to 6 years ago when you first decided that you wanted to throw a party. What can I ask? So what has led to you developing Unicorns Parties, which are now, you know, the tickets sell out usually within an hour. They're, you know, they've become huge both in Sydney and Melbourne. They're one of the hottest Mardi Gras parties that happen now. But they're also very unique for a number of ways. But how did it all begin? So what really led to this?
Well, I was working in festival management in Sydney, and I was creating festivals for hipsters. And I was coming out as a queer woman, and I was thinking, how come I'm putting all this energy into running events for hipsters who have so many spaces, when as a queer woman, I actually have nowhere to go right now where I feel safe? So I was living in Sydney, and Newtown was for lesbians and Oxford Street was for gay cis men. But for a lot of my friends who are bi or pan or trans or gender non-binary, we just didn't have a space that we were safe. And this is only, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. And there was issues with my friends who were coming out as a trans dude and couldn't go into a lesbian space anymore. And I was like, this is ridiculous. We need to have a space that's wholeheartedly queer. And people weren't even really using the word queer. And there weren't spaces that were for everyone. Mm. So I was like, okay, if anyone can do it, it's me. I've been doing it for everyone else. I'm going to do it for us. And so I found a little warehouse in St. Peter's in Sydney and threw the first party, and only 80 people came, but it was amazing. And yeah, from then it kind of grew. But at the start, for the first year, every time I threw a party, I said, I'm never going to do that again. It's so stressful. But the demand just kept growing, and it was really exciting to see that the type of people I wanted to feel like they had a safe celebratory space were the ones that were coming, with a really high proportion of people who were trans, really high proportion of femme women who didn't feel like they needed to put on their snapback and their, you know, black t-shirt to be out at a party. And yeah, it was really exciting to find a community that I didn't even know was that large.
I think that's very much it, isn't it? You don't really realise how big something is until everyone can rush into the space and fill it. We just got a message in. Loving the show tonight. Love little Jason and Ivanhoe. Thanks, Jace.
My brother used to live in Ivanhoe. Darcy, let me ask, because I'm just wondering, maybe, like, because you created a space for a particular, I guess, group of people to come to feel included and relaxed and to have fun. And so, like, are you saying that sort of after running these events initially that you noticed that there wasn't a space like this previously?
Well, I think that you made the events because there wasn't.
Yeah, there definitely wasn't a space. So, yeah, in Sydney at that time, so Newtown was like the hub for lesbians, and every Wednesday night it's like lesbian night. And then Oxford Street, which is still predominantly for gay men. For anyone that's hitting different kind of intersections, there wasn't a space for that. Like if I stepped into a bar on Oxford Street 7 years ago, they'd look at me like I was taking up space. Or if I was a lesbian event, but say I had a partner who presented as a dude, I would be seen as like taking up space.
And also your hair's too long.
My hair's too long. And I was way too femme. Yeah. I did actually cut off all my hair and wear a red flanny the first time I went to a lesbian event because I thought no one would hit on me.
Yeah.
So were you sort of sharing this idea about sort of creating this event with people and you started to get feedback, or did you just sort of take a punt?
Yeah, I talked about it a little bit with some of my friends. I remember workshopping the name for the event at a bar one day, but I'm kind of a person that if I have an idea, I will just do it and I'll do it alone. So I've always done it by myself, and I started it by myself, and it's just kind of grown from there. Yeah, and also like I have really strong values in terms of accessibility and inclusion and queerness. And when I did first start running queer parties, I did do it in collaboration with someone who was running a lesbian party, and some of their values did not align with my values. So it was really clear to me after running three events with this person that they weren't as passionate about accessibility, inclusion, and celebrating all forms of queerness. So that's when I said, I've got this idea, I just need to do it on my own.
I definitely want to touch again on the accessibility thing, but I'm going to save that until after the next segment, because I'm going to play a song first, and that's an issue that I want to have the chance to flesh out. If you've got a question for Delcy, if you've been to Unicorns, tell us what's special about it. Tell us what you love. SMS on 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up is Sister Girl by Oetha.
Oetha, yeah.
Oetha, who'll be performing at the Unicorn Festival in February. Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass. You're on Joy.
Put your hands up if you's a black lady. Let me break it down for you real slow.
Okay.
All the women in the world need to know. No matter what, you are a queen.
Yeah.
The definition of a magical seed.
That's right.
Shout out to all the mamas on the rise. All the ladies got the men hypnotized. I'm about to give you a sweet surprise. Sit back, relax, and close your eyes.
What?
I'm a typical strong black sister.
Yeah.
Fierce passion flows through my veins.
That's right.
All my titty girls, I will be with ya. 'Cause it's a powerful time for change.
Yeah.
Beautiful queen that I've ever seen. Holding it down for your family. On your grind, you always smile. Being real on the inside. Earth, wind, fire, shining star. Essence to stand wherever you are. Holds the seeds of birth. You're the queen of mother.
Pushing up perfection, nothing less. Leader to her people, the very best. She keeps her head up through all the hard times. Never lets her see us where to sell her at the front line. She knows exactly what it's like to have nothing but abundance of determination to make something. It all started with a whisper. Carried on the wind to bring freedom to her sisters. It dates back from the sands of time. Women had it worse than race and genocide combined. Tell them in the darkness resilience thrives with an unmatched beauty and fire in her eyes. She burns as bright as the stars in the sky. 'Cause a warrior spirit is very hard to come by. So when they ask what's a woman's worth, you say the greatest gift alive on earth.
Beautiful queen that I've ever seen. Holding it down for your family. On your grind, you always smile. Being real on the inside. Earth, wind, fire, shining star. Essence to stand wherever you are. Holds the seeds of birth.
Your black diamond shining bright. I see you carry yourself with beautiful pride. Giving hope, raising kids for our future. A smile without a reason, you're a gift of a teacher. You're the strongest woman that I've ever seen. Work hard, projecting positivity. Holding it down, homegrown in that tapestry. Giving room to dream, no silver spoon to feed. Baby girl, be proud, make the best choice in life. Keep your head up, this my only advice. Your love stirs in the belly of the streets. Careful what you learn, finding your inner peace. You're more loved than you could possibly see. Like a rose that grew in these concrete scenes. Each day there's hope, always remember. I got your back in any type of weather.
Beautiful queen that I've ever seen. Holding it down for your family. On your grind, you always smile. Being real on the inside. Earth, wind, fire, shining star. Essence to stand wherever you are. Holds the seeds of birth. You're the queen of mother.
This is for my sisters on the streets. Feeling broken but won't give it to their feet. Keep your head up. And this is for my single moms at home. Raising baby all alone, 'cause dad's gonna keep your head up. And this is for my independent girls that be taking on the world. 9 to 5, and keep your head up. And this is for my frontline women who've been there from the beginning. Stand tall and keep your head up.
Hi, I'm Mara Wilson, former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right. As announced by Matilda herself, this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I still get just really excited when I hear Mara say our show. That was Sister Girl by Aretha. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy. We have been chatting with Delcy, the founding director of Unicorns, the hottest queer party in the duos, the bi-state area. I can say that. That works. Amazing. So I just realised that myself. We've been talking about the why Delcy set up, began to throw unicorn parties 6 years ago, basically with a huge focus on accessibility and inclusivity to fill a space that, as a femme, multi-gender attracted woman, she did not feel that there was already existing. And it's pretty much skyrocketed from there. So it's not, you know, we brought you on mostly because you're holding this huge festival in February. We want to create as much buzz for that as we can, because you've brought in artists, you're flying in people from all around the world. There's going to be so much glitter. People apparently are so excited about the eco glitter.
Yes.
But also, you know, it's not just parties anymore, is it? The Unicorns brand has been extended to all these different other events. So what, and that are a bit more recent, so what kind of led to that decision to start doing fitness groups and boot camps?
So it's kind of just chatting to people about the fact that party spaces aren't everyone's favourite thing. And for some people, the loud noises are too much, but they want to meet like-minded people and they want to meet other people who are queer. And so I tried to come up with something that I thought was like good for our mental health, our physical health, and also was going to create a sense of community. So it was regular and we could get together and just have a nice time. And I also just wanted to attend a queer fitness group, and I searched for it and it didn't exist. So I thought, hey, I'm going to do this, and I want it to be as accessible as possible, so it's totally for free. And we meet in Eddie Gardens every Monday with a professional personal trainer, and we just do an hour of like a boot camp style fitness. But it's a really nice community activity because it's something regular that people can look forward to, and also there's no loud sounds, we're outside, and you just kind of go at your own pace. So it's good for people that don't want to party, which is totally fair enough.
And maybe more than just not wanting to party, because I wonder about people who, because you're very focused on in a gym and an exercise space, and for people who are, and you know, most of us are socialized to be very
intense spaces,
right? They can be. And for people, say, who are queer, and I have a transgender friend who said to me once that they would never get a gym membership, and there's a leisure center out in the northern suburbs who are doing a great thing. They're having a trans and gender diverse fitness night. And my friend said that they were able to get on a treadmill and not feel inadequate about not being able to run like, you know, fitness people would on the treadmill, and just be able to move their body without feeling the pressure of being
100%.
Watched.
100%. And there's also the issue with bathrooms in gyms, and if they're not inclusive of people who are trans or non-binary, then that's going to be really anxiety provoking. Right. So I do know for a lot of the trans attendees who come to Unicorns Fitness, they wouldn't step into a gym. And so this space was also created for them with a really high focus on that kind of inclusion.
That's cool.
It's really cool. Because,
it's really nice.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you mentioned like so much of you know, the queer community socializing does take place in loud venues, usually with alcohol late at night, and often, like, you know, that comes from a history of having to be hidden and underground. But, you know, as you move out of that, the fact is that that only suits a particular kind of person. And, you know, as an autistic person, it's really important for me to know that I can go to a unicorns party and step into a quiet space. It's why I can go there, because apart from that, it's often that I'll just go hide in the smoking lounge for a really long time. And I think it's interesting to see how that's starting to pick up, because, you know, Delcy, you also run workshops on how to teach people to be inclusive, because I'm sure there's a big need out there, but it's usually a lot more complicated than people really think it is.
Yeah, that's it. And a lot of people come to me saying, oh, I see that your events promote access and inclusion and they want to do it also, but they're not really sure how to start. And I want to see more spaces pop up which are thinking about accessibility and inclusion first before anything else, before they worry about the DJ lineup or before they book their venue, thinking about how am I going to make this as accessible and inclusive as I can. So I ran a workshop last week just kind of giving people the tips that I've been following. Obviously, there's going to be lots more that are going to pop up in the future, but just getting people to think about it from the get-go and thinking about the different needs that people have, because often people think of access and inclusion as wheelchair accessible. Yeah. And that is one really important thing, but there's so many other things, like you mentioned, having a quiet space, possibly Auslan interpreters if there's spoken word, pass out so people are free to come and go as they need to, making sure it's not strobe lights. Like, I could go on forever, but I think it's so important to be trying to create spaces and using any kind of power that we have to make sure as many people as possible can experience community and inclusion and celebration, because I think it's going to do great things for our mental health as a society.
As does exercise, which I think is
exactly
great.
Exactly.
Yes. Self-care can be partying and working out. They're both important things.
Very important things.
But it's true. So also, can I ask, so unicorns now are known for, you know, quite outrageous costumes. Everyone really gets into, you know, you always come up with themes, people get really into it in a very kind of 80s club kid vibe. Was that how it set out, or did that just kind of evolve?
Oh yeah, well, to be honest, ever since I was about 8 years old, I've been throwing parties and they always had a theme. So even when it was my birthday party, my mum would be like, what's the theme going to be? So I've been very passionate about costumes and theme for a long time. And so I just implemented a theme into all of them from the get-go. And I don't think initially I was like dressed as the theme, but I gave everyone a name and then all the programming, so the artists and the activities aligned with that theme. So like if it was Winter Wonderland, there'd be lots of kind of wintry activities and decor, and the acts would be dressed in snow-covered bikinis or something.
Did you ever have an Italians Do It Better theme?
I haven't had an Italians Do It Better. I was talking about how I used to wear a t-shirt that said Italians Do It Better when I was younger, but I don't think my dad liked it. But yeah, people just started dressing in the theme and interpreting in really different ways. And so then I got more into creating themes that aligned with really cool costumes. And Melbourne in particular does a really good job of dressing in theme. Obviously, people don't have to, but it's so enjoyable to walk into a space and see everyone covered in a costume that represents something that we're all working on together. So I did a pink paradise on the weekend, and seeing, you know, 500 queers all dressed in pink is pretty magical.
It was very magical, because the theme as well, it kind of creates again that sense of belonging very quickly, that sense of I understand what the dress code is, because there's often, when you're queer, how you present is actually can be a huge part of it when you're going out to parties. So having some guidelines, I think, just takes some of the anxiety away.
And it's exciting. Like, everyone wants to know the theme, and I release them 6 weeks in advance, and then we have 6 weeks to plan. And I don't know, I feel like that is part of the excitement of the event, is the lead up.
Yeah.
Is the planning of your outfit and thinking about who you're going to be. And I don't know, I think it's one of my favourite parts, really, is the costume.
It's a really interesting way to get people really excited in the bit, like sort of establishing this build-up well before, instead of just in the Uber on the way there.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's also community building, because everyone gets together and makes costumes together, and we talk about it, and every time we see each other, we're talking about each other's outfits. And
I reunited with a hot glue gun for the Pink Heart Paradise party.
Oh, good.
And firstly, that's just really relaxing. Costume making is very zen. You just put on a podcast and just glue a bunch of flowers onto tulle skirts, in my case. Have you been to, like, can I ask any for our listeners, like, what kind of theme would you like to see at a party? Or have you had a favourite one, either at unicorns or outside of that? Are you into themes? Message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you.
I like fluorescent beige.
That's an oxymoron.
Fluorescent beige.
I was trying really hard to picture that.
That's some movie.
Because I think, you know, there was a video, I think, that was going around the Mardi Gras, because you also throw a Mardi Gras party.
Yeah.
And there was a video going around about a young queer woman in a wheelchair talking about how Mardi Gras, the fest, like the actual parade, had a lot of issues with accessibility.
Robin, yes.
Yeah, Robin. And then you were talking about how you make sure you're always in venues that are wheelchair accessible. But I know that for my friends who are in wheelchairs, they do find that it's not really a thought in the queer spaces. And I think that's often a lot of people, we do kind of forget people with disabilities and different access needs in general, and all those who just don't want to go into that kind of space. And I think because unicorns has become such a popular event and really seen as like a queer, like, you know, one of the big things on the queer calendar, do you think that people are starting to, is there more interest now in being accessible than there was when you started?
Definitely. The conversations are much more regular. I think it's still a matter of the priority of the person that's producing it. For example, like the biggest venue that I can get in Melbourne that's wheelchair accessible and queer friendly is about 400 capacity. I could obviously go to a bigger venue, but there isn't a bigger venue that's wheelchair accessible. So my value is to stay at this venue because it's more accessible for a wider range of the community, but someone else's value might go, hey, I want to have more people access this space, but then not prioritise the wheelchair accessibility. So I think it depends on the priority of the person that's running it, and also the understanding of the things to look for when wanting to increase accessibility. For example, there are some venues which will say that they're wheelchair accessible and maybe the front door is wheelchair accessible, but I've been in spaces where it said that and you go in and there's not one wheelchair accessible bathroom.
Yes.
So as the person that's putting on the space, you need to make sure that you're going to the venue, you're checking it out, and you're looking for lots of different things. That would help make that experience much nicer for the person who does require a wheelchair.
So it sounds like a lot of care goes into these events. And can I ask this question?
Mama Unicorn.
This may sound like a silly question, Mama Unicorn, but I'm just wondering, the bigger and more well-known these events become, and it has a very high profile, and the more interest it attracts, and the greater emphasis people put on there, and dressing up and all this stuff that makes it so glamorous, does it risk becoming exclusive and maybe pretentious, or lose its the level of care that you've just described?
Not pretentious, but like not for the people who need it anymore.
I think it's something to be mindful of, but I don't feel it going down that path. I think the people that need unicorns are the people that are coming, and they're also really aware that tickets sell out fast, so they make sure they know when they're online, so they know when to go on sale. But I also make sure that I do many things so that those members of the community that do need to access this space can. For example, I have numerous free tickets, and people know that if they're short of cash, if they're unemployed at the moment, and they are part of the demographic that I am trying to cater to, then they just email me and they get a free ticket.
Is this a lot of pressure on you to look after so many?
At times it has been quite stressful, especially last year when I was attacked online by some right-wing people. That was a really stressful time for me, but I think it's made me a lot stronger and more focused. And now, because I was working for lots of different queer orgs, and now I'm just focusing on unicorns, and I just feel so passionate about it that there's nothing else I want to do. So I do want to make sure people have the best time possible and feel seen.
We're going to jump into your story of resilience before, because I think that's a pretty important one if you'd like to. But first, we do need to jump to a break. Next song is Hold Up by Micatron. Now, warning, this a warning language for this one. Triple Bypass on Joy. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Rhodes, and you're listening to Australia's Joy 94.9.
Yeah, this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. We're here with Dalcy from Unicorns. We're just having some minor technical difficulties.
I'll be right with you all in 2 minutes, 1 second. So we're talking just before about something that's happened to you at the end of last year that was, from like I remember seeing as something to happen, a really, really intense and stressful time for you. But you've mentioned before that you've come out as a stronger person, which is really much looking at the silver lining, but you also have managed to turn into a story of resilience. But do you want to talk about that? You also don't have to. Do you want to talk about the response? Because the community, I felt that was a nice part of it as well. Or do you want to leave that, but just mention that you have been going through some stuff, but you think it's important to
stand up? I can definitely say that for anyone that saw what happened online, I was attacked because of my work with queer youth as well as queer adults, and that was a really difficult time. But it has made me realise how much there is a need for people to be creating safe, happy spaces for queer people, because the world is still not as friendly as it should be towards us. And I think as a result of marriage equality, well, I know life definitely got a lot harder for a lot of people. And I think also because we won, the backlash we felt has been tremendous, and I think some people have been targeted because of that, and I was one of them, because people who didn't get the result that they wanted from the yes vote felt the need to retaliate, and it was a shame that I was one of the people that felt that effect. But it has also made me realise how much I need to keep doing what I'm doing, because if you destroy someone who's creating these safe spaces for people, you're impacting so many people. So if you take me down, there's not going to be spaces for queer youth. There's not going to be spaces for queer adults.
So that doesn't feel like a burden. That feels like an empowering thing.
It does now. Yeah. At the time, I can definitely admit that I did want to give up working in the queer sector because
the scrutiny.
It was overwhelming. Yeah. It was so overwhelming. But every time I put on another event and I was on stage and I felt how empowered people felt by having this space and how grateful they were that I kept on creating it, I thought I have to keep going. And it's just, yeah, it made me realise that I've experienced this piece of negativity, but for so many members of the community, they're going to experience that on the regular. You know, people can walk down the street, you know, visibly trans and be harassed on the daily. So they need to have a space that they can walk into and relax and feel celebrated.
So kind of like how the postal survey reminded a lot of members of the LGBTIQA+ community how far there is to go and the importance of sticking still. That was kind of almost like your personal postal survey in a few ways. Is that how it felt, in the sense that it was awful, but you've managed to find something that that came out of it that just makes you more determined?
Yeah, I think given me a level of understanding of the hardship that other people face. Like, as a cis woman, I've definitely not had as many difficulties as other members of the queer community, but it's made me live through like a microcosm of what someone else might have felt coming out as, say, trans. And so I think feeling that has made me feel even more the need for queer spaces and the need to create safety and inclusion and to remind people how great they are. And if I can do that through running events, then I need to keep doing that.
I mean, that's more than just being empathic.
This is
love, right? This is
your love.
Yeah, this is, it's deeper than just being empathic, right?
And it's similar. I think, you know, I've been to 3 unicorns parties in Mooi Loif, and it definitely, that sense of celebration of the celebrating of identity, and like you're not just being in spite of, but that sense of like, no, actually, we wouldn't change who we are, and there are all these positives and benefits to it, and often that is from the community and the spaces and from the costumes and from seeing people be able to let out things that they might not have been able to express for 2 months.
Mm.
So between those events, and again, like I know this is just, again, my experience, but there are not many spaces I can go to as an autistic queer person that feel like I can stay in them for long without being hyper-conscious. Like, if people brush up against me, I'm very aware of it. And so in a lot of spaces that are particularly just cis gay men, they don't really notice that kind of thing. And so, you know, being in a space where I just, knowing that there was a place I could go to in that, changed everything. And I could just go and sit there and people just check, like, is everything okay? I'd be like, yeah, just quiet. And they'd be like, yeah, cool. And everyone was just like, and it was just totally fine. And it allowed me to have an access again. And, you know, people I know who've got PTSD can go into the space at the same time. People with ADHD, people who have sensory overload issues can now actually go to events that they could not go to. And we are starting to see more and more queer events happen out in the open. So picnics and community events that don't just happen in the dark in a place with a strobe light and a smoke machine. But it's still a slow process. So for a lot of us, this is like the one party we can get to. And it's a real good one.
I mean, you can go to the bar, get a drink, go out, have a ciggy, come back in, watch a workshop on gender, and then go voguing.
This is the festival.
That's at the festival, yes.
Oh, sorry,
you can do all of that. That's true. I know. Like, 1 minute you're, you know, hearing a talk on gender and sexuality, the next you're in the silent disco, the next you're in a rave, the next you're learning how to hula hoop. It's going to be a full-on 11 hours. I think because I lose interest really quickly, I've got like a really hyper like imagination. So I was like, I need to put everything into this space.
Is there a nap room?
Yeah, there is actually a quiet room, which is just going to have nice projections on the roof and calmingness.
That's really
nice. And games and arts and crafts, heaps of quiet times.
And if people want to find out more about just Wee Unicorns, you know, about the workshops that you run, about the parties that come up, about, well, how to, where they can buy some good seaweed-based eco glitter and wonderful T-shirts, where can they go?
The website's unicornsparty.com, but everything is also on Facebook, just under Unicorns.
And there's some really fun designs as well. So the unicorn that you see in the designs, which is like, looks like it's a unicorn that, like, the horns and ice cream. And so have you had that symbol the whole time? I'm really curious about the origin of this unicorn.
Yeah, so I had a friend I was living with who's a really quite well-known street artist called Ox King. And I was living with him and I said, will you draw up my logo? And he came up with that design, as well as like the unicorn's kind of branding. And then every time the poster is made, it changes slightly, the colours change, and then those colours are replicated throughout the whole event. So if the poster's like pink, purple, yellow, everything in the space will be that. So it all aligns with the theme.
And so now that it's become such a well-known queer event, do you find it easier to get talent? Do you have people in mind when you start planning it? Maybe I'm like taking away some of your secrets, but how early in advance do you start being like, all right, for this month I've got this in mind? Do you have like all the themes planned out for the year?
Everyone always wants to know if I've planned out the themes. I have a big list on my computer, but it sounds weird, but it's kind of like what's happening in my life I kind of put into the theme. And because I was a high school teacher when I was running these events. So say if I was doing a unit on fantasy, so for English, if I was teaching fantasy, then I'd incorporate the concept of fantasy into the theme. So whatever's kind of going on.
Well, that's where you've got your muse at the moment. So you can think more about like how you're going to do it with decorations and stuff.
Yeah. But like, yeah, with Mardi Gras, I haven't revealed the theme, so I don't know how much I should tell you. But obviously the focus is going to be around like celebrating our history. So that's going to be incorporated into the theme. So it depends, the time and place. as to what the theme's going to be. Like this December, we're doing A Nightmare Before Queermas.
Yeah.
You know.
I've been trying to figure out what I'm going to... I'm thinking of going as the clown with the tearaway face.
Oh, that's going to be scary.
I don't know, but celebrating our history, I've got a couple of Freddie Mercury outfits and a mustache already in mind.
Okay, you'll have to come to Mardi Gras.
Well, that works because the theme of the bi float is bicons, so famous people who are bisexual throughout history.
Oh, cool.
So you can just wear
Lady
the same
Gaga.
Costume. Right? Yes.
That's who I'd be.
I'd go as Sia because I just want to wear the wig and hide my face.
And a bow.
Yes, a big one. Now, and so the festival, are there still tickets available?
Yep. The festival's going to be huge. So it's 1,200 people, so the capacity is really large, but tickets have gone on sale. We're on final release, and it's not till 2nd of Feb, so you've got some time to think about it. But yeah, the last Unicorns of the Year will be in a couple of weeks, and then it's all forward to the festival.
Yes. So we've got just a few minutes, but can I ask, so what brought about you deciding you're going to have a whole day, 11 hours?
Well, people have been asking for a festival for a while, and I've been talking about it probably for like 2 years. Every Unicorns, I'm like, I'm going to do a festival. And I thought about doing a camping festival, but I was like, I want to ease into that. So I thought a full day festival would be really nice. And I still love going to places like Field Day and Summer Days back in the day when it was like 12 hours of techno. So I thought I want to incorporate that, but I want to make it super queer. And I'm also, as an ex-high school teacher, really passionate about education. So I was trying to think about how I can incorporate all those things into the one day. Yeah, I just thought, how amazing would it be to be with my friends for 11 hours surrounded by queer goodness in like so many different facets?
Can I have a ticket?
You can have a ticket. But pretty much I just think, what would I like to go to? And then I make it. Like, I want to go to a 12-hour queer festival. So I was like, I better put it on then.
Right. There's not one, so I guess I better do it.
Exactly. There was no queer dating events that I could go to, so I made one. Yeah. But then I can't pick up because I'm busy emceeing.
I hold monthly bi panderings. I'm always just like, this is great. I'm running it.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of want someone else to run one as well so I can attend.
Do you also go to parties outside of that? But you're all being like, well, this isn't accessible and you haven't got this right. Are you able to turn that brain off?
No,
a bit?
I can't turn it off at all. I'm terrible. I will look at each like lighting rig and wonder why it's placed there and have concern out about why that DJ mix isn't seamlessly transitioning into the next show. And I'm a nightmare. You don't want to stand next to me at a party.
What is your post-festival settle down period? Look like?
So the festival, like, I'll be bumping out over 2 days, but then after an event, so I just ran 3 events in Sydney, and then the last 2 days I've literally just laid on the couch holding my cat, watching Netflix, ordering Uber Eats. Like, I need to do that for 2 days after
every charge. Absolutely. And so 3 events in what amount of time?
So that was in a week. So I did the workshop, then Unicorns Dating in Sydney, and then Unicorns Had a Pink Paradise in Sydney as well.
Was it nice to be able to, like, transfer the themes over every now and again just to be like, I've got this stuff ready, it's fine?
Yeah, well, I never did it because I was like, I want every time to be original. But then the states get upset. So when I released the gothic one in Melbourne, Sydney was so sad because turns out every queer seems to have had a gothic history in high school, emo phase. So I was like, I have to give it to them too. And the same thing happened with the pink one. They were like, bring in here. So now I repeat the themes sometimes.
Sydney's jealous. What else is new?
Except for the Sydney Bi Network where you... support each other in every way.
Well, yeah, of course we do. And if you're listening in Sydney, you can check out the Sydney Bisexual Network on Facebook as well as the Unicorns parties, which are absolutely bi pan friendly. And I think that was the other thing. I'd never been to an event where I think there was that such a strong emphasis on people being able to bring any partner of any gender without being interrogated or questioned or being made to feel like they didn't really belong.
Yeah, I've talked to so many, particularly bi women, who say things like if their partner identifies as a male, they literally don't bring them to a queer party. So yeah, it's really important that you're able to do that.
Exactly. And I think, and also you mentioned before about having to wear like the snapback to go to lesbian events. Like, I've talked to bi women who talk about like they have their outfit they wear when they want to pick up women because otherwise they just get read as straight.
I feel that. You got to start a queer party, then people know you're queer. That's my only solution to that.
Mine was just to wear a bunch of badges saying you're bi.
Yeah. Well, at Unicorns, I have a label station, which you've probably seen. So you're able to put what you identify on your arm to make it really clear, hey, I'm queer, I'm trans, I'm intersex, whatever. So people know who you are and also maybe what you're looking for as well.
Well, yeah, you have like the traffic light bracelet. So that's a nuance. So the old traffic light parties wear green if it's a go, if you're looking to hook up. Orange, proceed with caution. Red is not. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really obvious. Just look at someone's arm if you want to see if they could be interested.
And I think one of the defining moments I've had at Unicorns, which I thought also kind of reset the bar for how I imagine party spaces to go. In our last like 5 minutes was that you always, you emphasize when you say hello to everybody, and because you host all of these events, you MC everything, you talk about consent and touching. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it was interesting going to other events after having been to Unicorns, and the thought in my head was that, no, I know you're capable of better because I've seen better than this.
Mm.
And I think that was what Unicorns does as well. It resets our own understandings of what, of how we should be treated in these kinds of spaces and what we should expect from each other, and the knowledge that we are capable of giving that respect to each other, and so that a lack of that is not acceptable anymore because we can do better.
Mm, I think so too. And I think that's the teacher in me coming out about kind of educating people on the way that we should be behaving in a queer space. And I think lots of people know the right way, but sometimes just a cute reminder is needed.
Cute and teachery reminder.
Yeah, I know. And then I notice that sometimes I do talk like a teacher.
But it works.
It does
they
work.
Listen.
They do listen.
And Dalcy, and thank you for this. It's such a lovely gift that you offer. There was something burning inside of you that you wanted to express. We talked about the values that you wanted to have expressed in a space where people could also come and experience some inclusion, some kindness, some eco glitter.
Mm.
And congratulations.
Thanks.
It sounds like it's really... It's
taken off and then some.
Yeah, I think it and I think it comes from, like, you know, probably a lot of us felt is that we didn't fit in. I've always felt like that. Like, I grew up in Canberra and I've been like a colourful person and I never really fit in. So I think that I have a really strong desire to make other people feel that sense of, like, you're wonderful, you're fantastic. And also being a school teacher, like, I've taught in schools where principals have said things like, we should tolerate the queer kids or the gay kids, and that's exactly the language that we should not be using.
Yeah. You tolerate a head cold.
Exactly.
You tolerate a person's
So suggestions. I'm very passionate about telling people that they should not just be tolerated, they should be celebrated.
As is on your t-shirt, it's not just okay to be queer, it's fucking fantastic.
That yes. is my slogan for life.
See what the buys and pans can do out there, everyone. Stay tuned, we'll be back again next week, but Local Roots is coming up, bringing you some fresh Aussie queer tracks with Jason. Thanks so much for joining us, Dalcy.
No worries, thanks for
Thank
having
you.
Me.
Thank you. Good luck at Unicorns.
We'll be back next week on Tuesday. If you want to find more information about Unicorns, check out the Facebook page. We've shared some information about that too at Triple Bypass on Joy. Don't forget to listen, subscribe to our podcast, and tune in again next week. Have a great evening. You're listening to Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.